DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined once again by Father Donald Haggerty, a priest of the Archdiocese of New York, who has been a professor of moral theology at St. Joseph Seminary in New York and Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Maryland. He has a long association as a spiritual director for Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity. He is the author of the books Contemplative Hunger and Contemplative Provocations. With Father Donald Haggerty, we go inside the pages of Conversion, Spiritual Insights into an Essential Encounter with God, published by Ignatius Press. Father Haggerty, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you having me.
It's a delight to be able to hold another one of your books. I am so excited that Ignatius Press has brought forward once again the wonderful spiritual, as it is even described in the subtitle of the book, the spiritual insights into an essential encounter with God in this beautiful book, Conversion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. I'm grateful to Ignatius Press also for publishing this, and I hope it will do good for souls.
It's not your average book. I don't mean to speak disparagingly about others in the spiritual genre these days, spirituality genres, but so often we have how-to books. This is how you pray. This is a structure. Here's the pedagogy. And yours is more of a dipping into mystery. It really comes from a deep contemplation. It's really quite special.
Well, thank you, Chris. I try to write from what is reflections of the interior life, and also on this subject, I think there are deeper questions, and deeper questions, you know, sometimes provoke deeper insights into what's really happening in this life with God. And one of the big items on that road to God in a lifetime is conversion. And there are variations on that experience of conversion, which I've tried to touch on in the book.
A lot of times, even our verbiage, when we talk about conversion, somehow in our head, we've gotten to think of it as something that happens and then it's done. So I am now a convert, or I've converted to the church. I'm a convert. And that is a real misnomer, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's one reality of conversion. We know there are some of the famous cases, St. Edith Stein, for instance, Jewish convert who became the martyr at Auschwitz. There are these conversions from non-belief to Catholic belief, or people like Scott Hahn, who was Protestant, and Protestant minister became Catholic. There are these conversions. There are conversions that happen, often, I think, with young people who stray away from the faith, maybe get into really a bad moral life and return to confession and the practice of the faith. These are, real conversions, but the real question, is what do you do after a conversion, and what kind of life with God is sought in the time after that initial taste of God in some real experience.
Well, I find it really wonderful that at the beginning of almost every chapter, not every, but almost, you have quotes from the saints, and the one that always stands out for me is St. Teresa of Avila. Now, here is someone who we could say had an ongoing conversion. She even writes about that, even after her initial awakening, or reawakening, as it was, at the age of 39. That she would write, you could see it chronicled in her life story, but also in Way of Perfection and Into the Interior Castle. As she aged, she found that she was constantly moving towards that interiority, wasn't she?
Exactly. And I think that's an important point, that sometimes she was in religious life almost 20 years as a Carmelite, and surely living a good life, a virtuous life, but by her own description, somewhat mediocre in her relations with God. And then she had a second conversion of sorts in her life And that really placed her then on this mystical path of greater intimacy with God. And I mean, I think that pattern is very real. I have a chapter in this book on second conversion, which as a phrase dates back to a Jesuit of the 1600s, Father Louis Lalemant, who was also, interestingly, the novice master for St. John de Brubach, who was one of the North American martyrs. And his idea was that, you know, well along, perhaps after, you know, a conversion or after making a commitment of a serious nature, for instance, in marriage or in the priesthood or religious life, that 15, 20 years into this, there has to be another second great awakening and a realization how much God really is asking of a greater closeness with himself and an opening then in one's interior life to that offering. I think that was what we see in St. Teresa of Avila, and then I think probably all these saints had some second-level conversion that really then put them in the fast lane, so to speak, you know, to God.
I think it's important, don't you feel, Father Haggerty, that for anyone who wants to grow in deeper in relationship, they have to confront that fire of sin, that realization of what actually sin is. You know, oftentimes we want to make the devil to be the worst thing, the worst encounter that we can have. But in actuality, sin is what we choose. Devil can only tempt us. We're the ones who make the choice. And grappling with sin is that's the largest challenge.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's important that we don't minimize even venial sin, that, you know, if we're deliberately indulgent, even in venial sin, that's not a good sign in a life. There has to be struggle there, effort to try to, you know, avoid wounding, you know, the heart of our Lord, which is really what sin is, to be indifferent in that moment, to, in one sense, causing pain to the heart of God, even though it's probably not theologically, you know, a precise description, but certainly to cause pain to the heart of Jesus Christ in his passion. And, you know, the kind of just sensitivity to being in the presence of God all the time and carrying him and then trying to live, you know, in response to him. So I think those are aspects of conversion. And sometimes we really realize these things only when we've begun to pray more seriously, and have to take time every day to have some serious silence in our life and some serious prayer. I think that's so important.
When we do pray and those sins come forward, those choices that we've made, sometimes that can be crushing. Sometimes they may seem like so unforgivable to us. It's so imperative that we do recall that the love that God has for us and that mercy, and you speak about that in your book.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I think many people get discouraged, and you know, it's hard enough to seek God. And you know, if we fail, we live in, you know, among, you know, fellow sinners. We're inclined to the wounds of original sin ourselves, and so there's going to be failings for sure, even in the best of people. You know, the saints went to, I think Mother Teresa went to confession every week. Probably Saint John Paul the same. You know, there are these experiences of failings and the rising up of our pride at times, or, you know, our vanity, our greed, irritations. These things are real in every life, but not to get weighed down by that. And I think Saint Teresa of Lisieux is a great teacher in this need for, okay, we always have imperfection, but the quick turning back confidently to, you know, our Father and to Jesus Christ, who has eyes that are always eyes of love toward us. And I think that experience is important in conversion too, that we realize those eyes of our Lord are never harsh eyes. They welcome us, but we have to gaze into them also, so to speak.
We're speaking with Father Donald Haggerty about his book, Conversion, Spiritual Insights into an Essential Encounter with God. beauty of your books, Father, is that they are really truly our meditations. It's almost as we're reading your work, we're actually hearing your prayer. Is that a stretch by saying that?
Well, I try to write in these small paragraphs. Sometimes it's a page, a little bit over a page, and really concentrated reflections that I think are, I mean, people have said to me that many times it sounds like you're speaking things that are of my own heart and soul's experience, and they're my experience too. So I think there is some value in short, concentrated reflections that have come to me also in prayer. Sometimes after I've had finished prayer, then I have written down the beginnings of what then have become in time these reflections that are on these pages. So to me, they're aspects of grace in my own life, and then at this point, putting them on paper and sharing them also, and with a publication. But I think they're not psychological, but they're getting into the interior life. So then they're trying to get past that barrier that really what's inside us. Where is God challenging us to a recognition of Himself in the interior life? His presence and companionship there is that puts a light on many things, I think.
And I think it's a real reflection on mystery. And what I mean by that is that, in spiritual formation, there are what we've come to know as those, I hate to use the word levels, but there are particular, the first stirrings. I mean, there's kerygma, where we have this proclamation. We speak about Christ. We're called. We hear it. We want to know Him. We want to go further. Then we have catechesis, where we do studies. And the catechism is a great example of that, of those different areas in which we come to learn. But once you've learned all that and you say yes, you respond to that invitation, and now you are immersed into quite literally mystery, the Latin, as you know, the sacrament, sacramentum. We're immersed into that sacrament of grace. It's so different, isn't it?
Yes, so different. And I think concretely, the effect on a person of trying to get into a church, perhaps every day, and of course many people do go to Mass every day, try to get some time in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament every day, pray before a tabernacle every day. This has an effect on a life. And I mean, I'm working now in St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York, and we have many confessions here. We could probably have more if we opened up more hours to it. And I'm telling people all the time now for a couple of years, try to get into a church every day. If you're working in the city, you can do that. And even better, go to Mass every day. And there are many people in New York who go to Mass every day or pray in one of the churches in the quiet of an afternoon, even a visit. And that has a profound drawing effect, I think, on a soul, that because we're in the presence of our Lord. And especially if you can have some quiet there to linger for a few moments after a Mass, after receiving communion, not to rush, and that does draw us to the inside of the mystery more deeply. And once we get into the routine and pattern of these practices, I think the practice itself then begins to permeate the life. And you may walk back into an office building, but you're carrying something different in the interior quality of the soul.
We'll return to Inside the Pages in just a moment. Did you know that you can obtain a free app which contains all your favorite Discerning Hearts programs? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Archbishop George Lucas, Father Maurizio Sfildi, and so many more, including episodes from Inside the Pages. can be obtained on the Discerning Hearts free app. This also includes all the novenas and devotionals and prayers, including the Holy Rosary and Stations of the Cross, the Chaplet of St. Michael, and the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, all available on the Discerning Hearts free app. Visit the iTunes and Google Play app stores to obtain your free Discerning Hearts app today. A prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
We now return to Inside the Pages. That time in prayer that is so important, because it really is that awareness. I mean, that being in God's presence, and oftentimes in our prayer, you know, just as in any relationship, there are times where we communicate, where we speak and we talk, but then there is also the need to be able to listen to the other. And maybe that is where it becomes difficult for many, is that suffering silence. And I mean that in a most reverential way, that, you know, to be able to try to hear not so much what I want God to do for me, but what is it that He is desiring of me.
There's a great statement of Pope Benedict saying prayer is pure, you know, at its height, but prayer is pure receptivity. And to be able to receive and listen, to try to remain quiet, you know, with God, that's a hard task. And nobody succeeds in it, you know, all the time, of course not. But there is a need then to quiet down more. And I think there this almost compulsive turning to the smartphone, you know, to have something of noise around us. I mean, that's been commented on a long time, but that is an obstruction to a deeper realization of God's presence. And maybe it keeps people from seeking, you know, more quiet. But to find some silence. I mean, you're familiar, I'm sure, with the book of Cardinal Sarah now, also published by Ignatius Press, The Power of Silence. I mean, that's a magnificent book, and a great invitation too, to just try to get more silence into our lives. That's not just for the monks and the Carmelites, but all of us to try to carve out some silence in our life.
It goes to the question too, that if what's blocking that? Because really, I mean, we can make time. We can, for all of us who, and I'm as guilty as the next person, if I can sit down and watch news stories, cable news on television, I can make time for all of those events in my life. I can't take out 20 minutes, half hour, just to, even if I cannot even get to a church, just to be able to sit somewhere quiet and just have the Word open without even desiring to, you know, do a study of it, just to have it open. And yet, it seems like such a formidable task for so many.
Well, like many things, I think we have to begin. It's like a person who, perhaps starts jogging or even starts taking a mile walk every day, or, you know, it's the beginning that might be hard because you have to really decide, I'm going to do this. And then, but the continuing practice of it, I think from once we get a taste of these things and, you know, a taste for a hunger of God is a great taste. And I think it's the beginnings, and we have to decide and try to stay with it. Like you said, trying to even, you know, take some time, sit down alone with the Bible, read a chapter of the gospel every day. As an example, there's a woman that I guess I've seen now for two years in New York, and many of these big office buildings, companies, they have, because women, you know, of course, sometimes are pregnant and working for them, so they have what they call a lactation room for women in many of these companies. Now, she's not, you know, she doesn't have she's not pregnant, but she signs up for the lactation room every day to have 20 minutes to just be quiet and pray, and she does that in the afternoon. I'm not sure, that might be, somebody might say, well, you're doing that on company time, but she gets this into her afternoon every day for a time of prayer. And so I'm not sure if I want to advertise that as a practice for everyone, but that's it just strikes me that some people have this hunger and need for God, and they find one way or another to seek God through it.
It goes back to what we understand, or who we understand God is. It is that person who is questing to, he wants us to know him. He wants us to share everything with him, but we sometimes hold back, don't we? I mean, it's because of maybe the relationships we've had in the past that are supposed to be loving, a father or a mother or whoever that might be, that might have hurt us. And so it kind of can get in the way of our understanding what a loving God, a loving Father, how he is.
I mean, it's true. I think it's very true. And I mean, many people maybe are afflicted in a way by a sense of unworthiness, you know, before God, or he seems too distant, or they don't have a deeper sense of how real he is. But again, I think we have to, in some way, get in that door with God, and we have to walk through it. You know, when I was living in, I may have said this in a previous interview, but when I was living in Ethiopia, there was a very popular, you'd say, or common, simple painting that was often on the outside of Orthodox churches, among other paintings. And it depicted Jesus knocking at a door, but there's no handle on his side of that door. And you have to open it from the inside for him to come in. So, I thought that was really a very powerful. Some people may have seen that painting, and it's so real in spiritual life. We also have to open that door for him to come in. Once you do that, then there is a much deeper experience of him. But that we have to carve out something, some very concrete way of getting God. Sometimes it's getting up earlier, or this getting to a church perhaps every day if we're working in the city, or married couples, you know, maybe praying a rosary at night together. That's something that gives God a chance to enter more deeply in our life.
Have done work with the poor for so long, and it, from that experience, I mean, you can begin to understand what our Lord is saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, because so much in the relationship with God, in many ways, they're not weighed down, as odd as this may sound, with trying to keep so many things. You know, I mean, I think what happens maybe in our particular culture here in North America, and particularly in the United States, we have so much. And it's almost as though, you know, we get weighed down by having so much. And I'm not just talking about material things either. Sometimes we're called to let go and to what can we let go of. That can be a challenge when they meet that Jesus who looking at that young man and saying, what will you give up to follow me?
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. And, you know, if it's possible for people to, you know, seek out some contact with poor people, you know, this is a great benefit to the spiritual life and to, you know, really live and have some taste of the truth of Jesus' teaching in the gospel, what you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me. And I think the one repercussion of that is, you know, to try to then simplify our own life more and, you know, see the opportunity more for encounter with our Lord through, you know, the different disguises of poverty. I mean, there are lonely people, I think, everywhere, and sometimes in our own families and or in a workplace. And to have that kind of, you know, gravity of the heart to go to the poorer person around us, the more, you know, neglected person, the forgotten person, you know, that helps our life. And instead of, you know, it's so easy to be consumed with, you know, what interests me first and what's entertaining to me or what I'm interested in, you know, to get out of ourselves. That's an important thing spiritually.
Father Haggerty, in your book, Conversion, Spiritual Insights into an Essential Encounter with God, I'm so happy that you closed the book, that chapter, Passion for God, because it truly is. I mean, when you see somebody who's living that encounter, even though on the outside it may seem like they have nothing or they might be in a state of actual physical suffering or whatever that might be, those who have that encounter and who embrace the relationship, there is a joy and there is a passion about their faith that is just, I want to say, illuminating. It is just, it's radiant, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's so true because, like you said, the external doesn't tell us, you know, what's there in that person. And, you know, my experience with the Missionaries of Charity that I've had so many years with, you know, there are many times I don't see right away when I'm doing retreats with them, you know, what's in front of me. And then you begin to talk to these people and hear their lives or see them in their lives. And, you know, there are great souls underneath what can be, the appearance of just the same as the others. And this has to do with the interior life. And when people really, you know, cross that threshold and offering themselves before God, you know, there's a flame there. And God, you know, he puts the oil on that flame. And so I think that's what we all want. We aspire to it. When we hear of these things, we know we want that. I know when I've been around the Sisters of Mother Teresa, if I go for 8 days and with a retreat with them, I come away just desiring again that, you know, I want God fully in my life. You know, we're all like that, really.
You hope for that. Telling that as we're having our conversation, events in the United States have taken some very challenging and in reality a very horrific turn, and two, among many things, but two horrific acts of horror, of mass killings, and one that even took place in a house of worship down in Texas. You begin to see those who turn to their faith and enter into that relationship to bring understanding, peace, to at least solace, comfort. And then there are others who will rail, Father, and I'm sure you hear it. Where is God? Why would he allow this? It for them, it's just a case that he's just not there.
Yeah, and I mean, these things, these kind of occurrences, which, you know, have really the mark of the evil one upon them, they're also part of the mystery of God. And, you know, I just read the newspaper quickly this morning, but, you know, there was one family that lost 8 people in their family among the 26 killed, and the grandfather's, you know, was not there. He survived, but he's speaking with such faith. He said, "You know, soon we will all be together. You know, I know where they all are now, you know, with God, and we will be with them. You know, we will all be together soon." He's, I think, 86 years old, and you know, it's so striking how people of serious faith have a sense of God's hand in all things, even when it's very costly and so painful and tragic, but God is there in everything. But if you don't have God, then it's it becomes a dark mystery and you know, perhaps impossible to deal with.
Potentially that call to conversion, would you say? That knock on the door?
Yes, I mean, I think God, you know, God is acting through all these things, and he is he's knocking on the door of the world right now, you know, trying to awaken us to a need for him. And I mean, I'm sure it's your experience too, but my experience as a priest is people who do have God in their lives are very, very, you know, serious, it seems now today. I mean, a lot of people have intense faith and practice. At the same time, there is this drifting away in indifference to God. So it's like the intensities are increasing on both sides. But you know, in all cases, we have to seek God, and we have to be, if we're believers and fervent in our own faith, we have to be very open to being instruments too for the sake of others, and pray every day, you know, for people to find God. That should, I mean, I pray myself, and I ask people, and I also, you know, include it as a penance in all confessions, to pray for the dying who are in need of grace. I mean, souls can be saved at the end of their lives. They can be turning to God at any time in their lives. But that often requires real prayer and of others and sacrifice, you know, in our lives.
There's something to be said about the witness of the martyrs, isn't there? And when you look at how the early church and how it would end up transforming into Christianity as we understand it, and that their relationship and what they encountered, we see that today. And you mentioned a Saint Edith Stein, Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, this woman who had an incredible conversion, who continued to grow in that relationship. I mean, what a light that she continues to shine today. And she's one who suffered and had to and endured, but continues to encourage us to follow that path of conversion.
Yeah, I think it's so true. You know, just to have some, you know, knowledge of the martyrs. You know, Magnificat is, you know, oftentimes has these small little one-page articles on the martyrs and or particular martyrs. You know, Mother Teresa's had 11 sisters who have been violently killed in martyrdom. You know, four in 2016. And the order itself, I think, is affected by that. You know, I think the younger sisters realize, you know, I'm in an order where I can die for, I may have to die for my faith. Now, of course, that's going to be a rare occurrence, but the reality of that, I think, you know, it inflames, you know, us all. So as part of what it is to be a Catholic believer, that we want to give ourselves fully to our Lord and bear witness in some manner. And, you know, that may mean mockery or rejection or not being part of the in crowd or whatever it might be, but the reality of being, you know, firm in our full commitment to our Lord, and how important that is today.
You know, it struck me, the story of the young mother in the church who threw herself in front of her children to protect them from bullets, and reminded me in a way of another, in a different situation, Jana Bratimala, who gladly, a mother who would give up her life. And then we have a God, even more relevant to the whole thing, that he would give his son. The father would give his son his life. And so that's how great that love is, isn't it, Father?
I mean, that is the heart of our Christianity. You know, the fact that the Son of God, you know, went to the crucifixion in this manner, and it's not just then in history, you know, the body of Christ throughout history in the, you know, the mystical body, the believer is going to undergo, you know, something of crucifixion, and sometimes in individual lives in a very real way. But as you said in the beginning of this discussion on martyrdom, this bears such fruits. I'm not sure if you're aware, but in Mexico, most of the Mexican martyrs or priests died in Guadalajara. I think there are 300 that were beatified. I may be wrong in that number. But that diocese, that seminary now, I think it's something like 500 or 400 seminarians studying for the priesthood in that diocese. And I mean, it's almost like a proof of evidence for that truth, that the blood of the martyrs really is the seed of the church, and it flourishes, you know, once, you know, the effects of that takes hold.
Well, so much to ponder, so much to pray with, isn't there, Father? And I'm
yes.
just, I'm so grateful that I have your book. I take it with me to adoration now, just so I take what I can and then just sit and just ponder it. And the book is called Conversion, Spiritual Insights into an Essential Encounter with God. And Father Haggerty, I wish we had more time, but any final thoughts on this particular conversation?
Well, I thank you, Chris, for the time you gave me. And my bottom line on everything is, you know, when we pray, if we pray, we're really seeking God, He will seek us. And I think He has a love for chasing after the soul. And we just have to open ourselves to that experience. And God is there. So that would be maybe my last thought. But thank you, Chris, for this time with you.
Really appreciate this opportunity to talk with you once again. Father Donald Haggerty, God bless you and everything you do.
God bless you, Chris.
With Father Donald Haggerty, we've gone inside the pages of Conversion, Spiritual Insights into an Essential Encounter with God. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to Ignatius.com, the website for its publisher, Ignatius Press, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this conversation along with hundreds of other spiritual programs, visit DiscerningHearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about DiscerningHearts.com and join us next time for Inside the Pages, Insights from Today's Most Compelling Authors.